Brother Marlon.
All right, thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 13, if you would. Open your Bible there to Mark chapter 13. We'll read some verses and then try my best to preach to you a little bit about what I believe the Lord would have me to preach to you. The Mark chapter 13 is often referred to as the Olivet Discourse and the Lord's own Mount Olivet, and he was teaching, especially talking to his disciples, and you'll find other accounts. It's also in the book of Matthew, but he was teaching them, and he got to talking about what was coming, and really what we would call the end times, and the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just going to kind of jump in right in the middle of it in verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. As I said, this passage of Scripture describes for us the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we look forward to that event as believers. As a believer, we're looking forward to that day. And I believe the closer you are to the Lord, the more you long for those verses to be fulfilled, all right? We look forward to that time. The trump of God's going to sound, and we'll be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But we also look forward to that day where the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 1, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Hey, we're looking forward to that. Amen. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. But this morning, I want to draw your attention to one word that's repeated four times, I believe, in these six verses. The first time you see it, it is there in verse 33. The word is watch, watch and pray. And in verse 34, he commanded the porter to watch. Verse 35, watch ye therefore. And then in verse 37, the last word is watch. Watch. It's the last word that God recorded from this time of teaching. He said, I want you to watch, all right? And the Lord's saying, and he says, notice how verse 37 puts it. It says, what I say unto you, I say unto all. All. Watch. Everybody. Everybody. He said, well, God's not talking to me. Well, yes, he is. He's talking to everybody. He said, you ought to all, we need to watch. And we think about that, and I don't know what you think about. Do you think? I don't know. What do you think when you hear that word? And what's it going to be? You say, well, watch what? And I'm glad you asked. I want to talk to you about it this morning, all right? The Lord is coming back, so there's some things he need to watch. I kind of thought there's some things need to watch out. Some things need to watch for, okay? And watch until. So you say, what should we watch? Number one, watch what you say. Watch what you say. You say, well, preach, what do you mean? Look in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now remember, the whole context of these verses we're reading is the second advent, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to us, you need to watch. You said, well, watch what? Matthew chapter 12. Would you look in verse 36? Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Whoa. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Hey, I'm saying to you this, If I can point out to you, if this verse is true, all right, that we're going to give an account for every idle word, and it is true that Jesus is coming again, boy, that ought to make us watch out what we say, don't you think? We need to stop and think about what we're saying. You're going to give an account for it. You're going to give an account for it. Oh, hey, not just what you say in church. Not just what you say when you're being careful. You're going to give an account for those things you say, as we say. Well, that was accidentally, that just slipped out. You had things just slip out. The Bible said you're going to give an account for every idle word. Those things, hey, wait a minute. Well, that means those things you say in anger. In anger. For some reason, we get the idea, well, if I'm mad, it's okay. You know, if I've lost my temper and I say something I shouldn't have said, you need to just understand I lost my temper. That's not the real me. Oh, yes, it is. And truth be told, maybe that is more you than you realize, all right? When you get mad, we say things. I'll tell you what, all means all. When the Bible says every idle word, it means every idle word. What he's saying, I mean, you ought to watch what you say. You ought to watch what you say. Now, obviously, I think that includes cursing. I don't think you ought to do it. We live in a day where cursing has become accepted. We don't think about it much anymore. Well, I think it's still wrong, all right? Still vulgar. It's still improper. You ought not to use that kind of language. Well, I got mad. Okay, that justifies everything. No, I don't think so. No, I don't think we can just excuse it because we got angry along the line. You need to watch what you say. The jokes you tell. The jokes you tell. The stories you tell. You're going to give an account. That gossip. Well, you know, I heard and so-and-so said it. I was just telling what somebody told me. Well, who made you do that? What made you, what provoked you to do that? Hey, that hurtful criticism. You know, I don't mind somebody coming along and telling me something that I've done wrong and made aware of it and for my benefit to help me. Now, I don't like it, but I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I got a phone call one time and a lady talked to me, a lady I did not know. She called me up and she rebuked me and she did it very kindly and I didn't like it. But I needed it. But I needed it. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about that criticism that we give just to hurt. Just to hurt. Oh, we laugh when we say it, but oh, we did it. We meant it. That hurtful criticism, backbiting, all that kind of thing. All that kind of thing. All that stuff that goes on and on and on, okay? Hey, you ought to be careful about what you say. You need to watch what you say. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. The Bible said you're going to give an account of it one of these days. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there's some things that you said you wish you hadn't have. There's one thing about words. Once they're out, you can't reel them back in. You just can't pull it back. It's there. It's there. People put things on the internet and, well, they take it down. Yeah, but it's still somewhere out there floating around. Hey, you those words come out of your mouth. Once they're out, they're out. Bible says, hey, he's coming back. He's coming back. And one day we'll stand before him in judgment. You'll give an account of every idle word. Can I just say you ought to watch out what you say? You ought to watch what you say. But not only should you watch what you say, you ought to watch what you do. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Try to preach Bible to you this morning, all right? Ephesians chapter 5. If the Lord is coming back, and he's coming back to this earth, then I believe we ought to watch what we say, but we ought to watch what we do. Look in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, down in verse 15. Here's what the Bible says. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. What you do is your walk. What you do is your walk. All right? What you do, that's your walk. Your walk is your conduct, how you live. All right? You need to watch it. You need to watch it. Why? Because what you do establishes, it builds, and it maintains your testimony. It does. It maintains your testimony. People watch you. They watch what you do. They watch what you do. It does it. I mean, there it is. Hey, some of you folks here, every Sunday morning, you dress up, you come out of your house, you get in your vehicle, and you leave. And you're gone for a couple of hours, and then you show back up. All right? Every Sunday morning. Now, there's nobody there that says, those are devoted Cowboy fans. They're going to the Cowboy game. No. That's not what I meant. Nobody's thinking that. Look, you've built a reputation. You've built a testimony. People watch. They see it. They know. They've got their eyes on it. Hey, look, you need to be careful. You need to watch what you do. That's where the Bible says walk circumspectly. That's carefully, careful about it. Why? Because that establishes your testimony. One day we'll stand before God, and the Bible said we'll give an account of the deeds that we've done in this body. That's what you do, okay? That's what you're going to give an account of. Can I say this to you? You're not going to stand there and give an account of your sin. If you're a saved individual, your sins are forgiven. They're under the blood, never to be remembered anymore. Now, I don't know about you, but I still have to stop and think about that to even grasp it just a little. But I'm not going to have to answer for my sin. You're not going to have to answer for your sin, but you're going to have to answer for what you've done. Hey, that means what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your time? The Bible, we read it there in Ephesians, said to redeem the time. Use that time. Why? The days are evil. We live in an evil day. What are you doing with your time? Well, I'm just sort of frittering it away. I have the highest score that's ever been in whatever. Well, ring-a-ding-ding. There's one video game that I have enjoyed playing in my life, and that is a Lode Runner. Now, most of you here don't have the foggiest idea what that is. The first time I played it was on an old Apple computer. Had a joystick, all right? And we played with that. And we played with the joystick until my son broke it. Slapped that joystick and broke it off. That was when he got a broken leg. No, not really. He liked to play the game too, all right? And, you know, we by the way, I'd like to here tell you, I conquered all the levels in Lode Runner. Hold the applause. I know you're impressed. You say, preacher, what does that matter? Nothing. I sometimes go to school, and I'm sitting there before school starts, sometimes during class, because gets a little slow, and I'll be playing Spider Solitaire. And a kid comes up and says, what are you doing? Wasting time. That's basically it. Hey, you know, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with it? You've got 24 hours in a day just like everybody else does. What are you doing with it? Now, I guarantee you, all of us waste some. All of us waste some time. What are you doing with it, all right? What are you doing with time? We'll waste it. You know, I encourage you to read your Bible. I just don't have time. Yeah, you do. You're just using it doing something else. But there's time to read your Bible. It doesn't take long to read your Bible. And it doesn't take much time during the day, every day. If you'll do it a little bit every day, you can read your Bible through in a year. It doesn't take very long. Now, it's longer for some. Some people read faster than others. But if you're really bothered, you just get you some, you know, get it on, it'll read it to you. You can download the app to your phone, and it'll read it to you. All right? And look, you said, don't have time. You got to be kidding. If you drive back and forth to work, how long do you drive to work? 5 minutes. I can be there in 5 minutes, okay? How about 5 minutes to listen to the Bible reading? If you listen 5 minutes going and 5 minutes coming, there's a good bit can be read in 10 minutes. There's a good little bit. I'm just telling you, we've got time, but we waste it. Need to watch. You need to watch what you do. What are you doing with your time? Not only that, what are you doing with your talent? Need to watch out. What are you doing with your talent? Preacher, I don't have any talent. Everybody's got some kind of talent. Everybody's got some. Now, our problem is we think talent. We think singing, playing an instrument. I can't do anything. Oh, wait a minute. That's not all there is to talents. Some of you are gifted, man. You can do things. Mrs. Fannin was a member of our church. Can't remember what her first name was. Fannin. Elaine Fannin. Elaine Fannin. Boy, you talk about a talented person. Oh, my goodness. She was as artistic as you could be at doing stuff I never even thought about in my life. She put on paper a picture of the church, you know, and she did it. She airbrushed it. It was amazing. What a talent. What are you doing with your talent? What are you doing with your talent? Using it for God? What are you doing with it, all right? The Bible said you ought to watch what you do, all right? You need to walk circumspectly. Watch out what you do. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your talent? Hey, just throw it out there. What are you doing with your money? What are you doing with that? Investing it in the things of God? But hey, by the way, I'm not against you having a 401k. I'm not against that at all. I'm in favor of go ahead. Have a good retirement. All that's wonderful. I hope you can retire healthy, wealthy, but don't leave God out. Amen. I'm just telling you, don't leave God out. So all I'm saying to you, hey, what are you doing with your money? What are you doing with it? Now, I got news for you. When you die, they could put it in the coffin with you, but you ain't going to touch it if it's there. It'll just sit there until if the Lord doesn't come back, I believe he will. But if he didn't come back someday far in the future, somebody will be digging, and look what we found in this casket. And we found in this box, you know, this skeleton. And, man, look at this money that was here. Hopefully you'll put it in silver and gold so it'll last and that person can do something with it, all right? But you're not going to. Hey, what are you doing with your money? What are you doing with your money? Investing? Hey, we got a mission conference coming up. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to invest mine in the things of God, in the things of God. I've said this many, many times. I'll say it again. I don't give to the March of Dimes. You say, are you against it? Nope. I don't give the United Way. Are you against it? Some of it, yes. But I don't give to the United Way. I don't give to this or that. You say, why not? Because lost people will support that. Lost people will give to that. But it's God's people that are going to support missions. Lost people aren't going to give to that. I've never had an individual, I start to say wealthy or otherwise, call up and say, preacher, do y'all support missions? And I would say, well, sure we do. We give to missions. We got missionaries all around the world. Well, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. But I would like to invest some money in missions. It's never happened. I don't think there's any other preacher in the United States that's ever happened to. The lost people don't support missions. I'm going to invest my money in missions. I'm going to invest it there. Hey, what are you doing with your money? Hey, you need to watch what you do. Why? Because the Lord's coming. Because the Lord's coming. You're going to stand before him and give an account for what you've done. Hey, are you doing much of anything for God? Now, preacher, God didn't call me to preach. Okay. But he called you to do something for him. We can serve him. You know, I've found it's amazing what people will do for gold, but they won't do it for God. Oh, we'll do all kinds of things for gold, but we won't do it for God. And we won't invest our time. We won't give, you know, anything like that. We won't do it. I'm just asking, what are you doing? You doing much of anything for God? Hey, you need to watch what you say. You need to watch what you do because the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. Take your Bible real quick. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice here this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's kind of an interesting verse. We're talking about what are you doing? You need to watch what you do. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." There you go. I just want to ask you what you're doing. Is it for the glory of God? Do you do anything for the glory of God? Or is it for you? I'll be honest with you, I find it hard to do things for the glory of God. Preacher, are you saying that? Yep. Because I have found this. What I do for the glory of God just thrills me beyond words. So I'm not sure if I'm doing it for God or for me, okay? Do you understand what I just said? I'm not sure. Am I doing it for God or am I doing it for me? Because, boy, I just enjoy it so much. So am I doing it for God or am I doing it for me? Well, boy, it's just enjoyable to be involved in doing something for God. To serve Him, what a privilege that is. So I'm not sure if sometimes am I doing it for Him or for me, but man, I want Him to get the glory out of it. What are you doing that will give Him the glory? Hey, the Bible said watch. Why? The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. You need to watch what you say. You need to watch what you do. Hey, third thing you need to do, you need to watch who you follow. You need to watch who you follow. Have you ever thought about who wants you to follow them? You know something? The world says, follow me. Follow me. If that's not enough, your flesh says, follow me. Follow me. The devil, guess what? He says, follow me. Follow me. Hey, there's plenty out there. There's a lot of people inviting you to follow them. And be like me. Do what I do. Follow me, all right? Sometimes I think of that. What do you follow people on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. I don't know what all that junk is, all right? But I hear people talking about, man, I've got this many followers. Who are you following? Who are you following? Who are you following? You know what? There's a verse in the Bible where the Lord looked at people and he said, follow me. Follow me. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to tell you this, many will lead you astray. Your own flesh will lead you astray. People, they say, follow your heart. Be careful about that. The Bible said the heart's deceitful, man, it's wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it, all right? Be careful about following your flesh. It'll lead you astray. It'll lead you astray. Hey, my flesh leads me astray. Boy, it does. Every time I go by a donut shop, it says, go in. Pull in there. Now, I don't need to pull in there. And if I get in there and it says, go on in, you'll enjoy the aroma. And if it gets me in there, it says, try a couple of them. They taste good too, man. You know what? My flesh wants me to enjoy that and go after it. And by the way, my flesh enjoys donuts. You said, what kind? I'm trying to think of any kind that I didn't enjoy, okay? Man, I like... I like those buttermilk donuts. I like the ones that got cinnamon. I like a good cake blueberry donut. I like them things. I like the chocolate donut, all right? If they made a chocolate donut, I'd like it too, all right? Man, I like them. I like those ones that hot and fresh, you know, right up the street here. Man, you get them things as they come off the line real hot. Those things melt in your mouth, boy. I could eat a half a dozen just like that in a heartbeat. And the next heartbeat, it'd die because of all that's in there, you know. My flesh leads me wrong. I'll tell you, the world leads you wrong. The world's not a friend of God. Hey, who you following? Who you following? Hey, who does it look like you're following? I'm just asking you to be honest about this matter. Who's it look like you follow? You know, who sets style for you? Who sets that thing for you? Hey, what music is on your lips? Who you following? Who you following? Mrs. Poe one time, she said, Brother Marlon, I said, Preacher, I just can't believe it. It's amazing. He said, you seem like you know every song in the songbook. Well, I've been singing them for 60 plus years. I've been singing them for a long time. And I found if you set words to music, they're easier to remember. You want to memorize scripture? Put a tune with it. It doesn't have to be a tune to make sense. You just put a tune with it. You can memorize scripture. It's easy to memorize scripture if you got a tune with it. And man, I do. I know hundreds and hundreds of songs until I'm under pressure. Then I can't remember the word to any of them. If I'm under pressure, I can't remember Jesus loves me, all right? But if I'm in the shower, I can remember words to songs. They just keep coming, right? Hey, I just want to know what songs are on your lips, okay? Who you following? Hey, if we look at what you look like, what songs you sing, we kind of get a good idea who you're following. It shows up. Hey, can I say this? If you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll show up at church. If you're following him, you'll show up at church. Come on. Sure you will. You'll read your Bible. You'll read your Bible. If you're really following the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll read your Bible. You'll pray. Now, you may not be the world's greatest prayer warrior. You may not read the Bible through every month. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you'll read it. You'll read it. You'll pray. You'll come to church. Why? Well, you're following the Lord. You're following the Lord. People that follow a ball team buy season tickets and they go. They go. Wow. Well, that's my team. My team. People are going to go to California tomorrow or today, or maybe they went yesterday, because they're followers of TCU and they're going out to watch a football game. Some of them are playing ungodly amounts of money for a ticket. I heard you could get a good ticket. You could get a ticket for $600. If you want a real good ticket, you're going to pay over $1,000 to sit in a seat that's not quite big enough. And it's not real comfortable. With a bunch of people you don't know all around you. Some of them may pour their drink on you. I've had that happen at a ball game. I mean, you know, you're there and you don't know these people, and there you are, but you've paid big money to sit there. Why? Because you're following them. Hey, you hear me. If you're following the Lord, you'll be at church. Hey, if you're following the Lord, you'll do something to try to get somebody saved. You'll do something. But I tell you this, you need to watch who you're following. You need to watch what you say. You need to watch what you do. You need to watch who you're following. Guess what? You need to watch where you're going. Don't we all believe that? You need to watch where you're going. Somebody's shaking their head, no, God help you. I hope I'm never on the road when you're driving if you don't believe it. You need to watch where you're going. I hope I'm not on the road with you because I've seen people that aren't watching where they're going. I've seen people do some crazy things driving where they weren't watching where they're going. I told y'all about experience my brother and I driving. We were on vacation. I was asleep in the seat there. We're driving my 1976 Toyota Celica, 5-speed. The seat would recline all the way. It's reclining. I'm asleep. And I hear this, oh, no. And I sat up real quick, and we were driving down a ditch. It's 70 miles an hour. Man. Now, while we're in that ditch, we had this conversation. I said, did you go to sleep? No. I said, you drove off in here awake? I don't think anybody here said, well, he was watching where he was going. No, he wasn't. If he had been, we wouldn't have wound up in that ditch. Just wouldn't have happened. You with me? He wasn't watching. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I've done because it's more funny talking about him than it is about me, all right? Just a lot funnier. Hey, if you don't watch where you're going, you're going to wind up in the ditch with your life. A lot of people have. Hey, you know what I found out? If I watch where I'm going, there's less chance of me stumbling. If I watch where I'm going, there's less chance of me running into something. Hey, you need to watch where you're going. You need to watch where you're headed in this life. Helps you avoid accidents. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really tired of hearing Christians excuse their sin by saying, well, it was an accident. No, it wasn't. Hey, you got into some sin. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident. You weren't watching where you were going. You avoid accidents by watching where you're going, okay? That's what you do. In your life, you need to watch out, all right? If I watch where I'm going, there's a better chance I won't wind up in the wrong place. But I need to watch where I'm going. Never forget, we were on senior trip. Me and Ms. Stapleton and her husband, Brother Stapleton, we're in Washington, D.C., with some seniors from our school. I can't remember if it's a trip James, I don't think it was the trip he may have been. I think it was a trip that Amy and Kathy were on. They were seniors that year, and we rented a van. We're in Washington, D.C. How many have you ever been to Washington, D.C.? Okay, I'm going to tell you something. It's the most confusing place I've ever driven in all my life. The worst thing about it is Brother Stapleton was my navigator. He was as lost as I was, all right? Man, we were driving along, and we passed this one deal, you know, and said, well, we want to be here. We need to be over there. So we drive around a little bit. Here we are passing that place again. There it is again, you know, the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts. I've seen it from every side you can see it except inside. And it was just, hey, you just had to be, no attention, just for a minute. Just for a minute. I've done that downtown Fort Worth. Turn the corner and look up, and all the lanes are filled with cars coming at me. Now, that's exciting driving. So what'd you do? Well, I turned the wrong way on the wrong way, one-way street. So what'd you do? Thank God there was an alley, and I got in it, all right? When you do something stupid like that, you try to say, I planned to do this. I just couldn't get to this alley any other way. No. Hey, listen, wait a minute. We may laugh about that, but we're talking about your life. We're talking about your life. Where are you going? Where are you going? A lot of people not paying any attention. You watch where you're going, you won't wind up in a bar room somewhere. Don't do that. Visiting one time, noticed a tattoo guy had on his leg. I said, man, that's a strange looking tattoo. He said it's a jail tattoo, prison tattoo. I got it in prison. Well, I don't mind asking questions. I said, what'd you go to prison for? He said, I killed a man. Well, I've got to go. No. I sat and talked with him. Billy Bob's. They were drunk. They were drunk. You know what? If you watch where you're going, you don't wind up in a place like that. You don't wind up in a place like that. You don't wind up in a dance hall. You don't wind up in a gambling joint. Now today we call them casinos. It's a gambling joint. Or wherever else you want to. Listen, we're talking about your life. We're talking about your life. There's not a person today on Skid Row. There is not a person today living on the streets that grew up thinking, that's what I want to do with my life. Not a one. Not a one. But they're there in many, many cases. Now, I know there's mental issues. Don't jump on me, okay? But I'm telling you, in many cases, it's because people didn't look where they were going. They didn't look where they were going. Hey, you need to watch where you're going. If I watch where I'm going, I don't have to worry where I'll be found when he comes. If I watch where I'm going, I don't have to worry about where he's going to find me if he shows up unexpectedly. The Bible said, watch. Watch. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. Watch who you follow. Watch where you're going. And you know what? You need to watch until. He said, until what? One of two things. Until he calls or he comes. Watch until he calls or he comes. That's what he means, preacher. Until he calls you out of this world. And you go out of this world by death. You need to pay attention. You need to be careful. Why? Hey, I'm going to give an account for every word I say. I'm going to give an account for everything I do. I'm going to give an account for every place I've gone, all right? I'm going to give an account for where I've followed and who I've followed. You are too. Watch. Why? Because he's coming. He is coming again. And until he calls you, you better watch. You better be careful. Or until he comes for all of us. Hey, you need to watch. Hey, my friend, look, Jesus is going to return. There is no doubt he's told us to watch and pray until he comes. Are you watching what you should be watching today? Well, not yet, preacher. Okay, when do you plan to start? Well, you know, I figure I've got this much time, but what if he comes before that? What if he comes before that? What's it going to be like? What you going to say? How you going to feel? How you going to feel standing before him? Now, I thought about that social drinker. Now, it's not going to happen this way, but you think about that one that's got the bottle or the glass, and they're right here, and the Lord snatches them out, and you meet him with that glass. What you got there? Nothing. Never forget, my dad and I were visiting. We were visiting an apartment complex, and we're walking along, and we're coming up to make a turn into the apartment, and here comes the guy we're coming to see, and he had a beer bottle in his hand. I give him credit, man. He was just walking along like that, and it went over into the patio, one of them walled-in patios, you know, of the apartments. You know what I'm talking about, where they've got it walled in, just a little outside area that's walled in. He flipped that over that fence slicker than you could think, man. I thought, boy, he thinks fast anyway, all right? Hey, well, wait a minute. He doesn't have to answer to me. He doesn't have to answer to my dad. You got to answer to God. You're going to have to answer to him. When he says, watch, he's saying it for our benefit. He's saying it to you. He said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch. Watch. Are you watching? Be careful. Are there some things you need to change? Got to just tell you, this would be a good time to change it. When we talk about watch where you're going, the question is, are you even going to heaven? Well, preacher, sure, I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. If that's what you're counting on, you'll go to hell. Well, mom and daddy were Christians. That's good, but if that's what you're counting on, you'll go to hell. It's you. Are you sure that's where you're going? Have you got it settled? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Can you go back in your life and say, that's the day right there. That's the place. I was there when it happened, and I know when it happened. Not, why don't you make this the day and this the place? Listen, God's calling. He's calling us today. He's warning us. Watch. Why? Because I'm coming. And he said it in such an hour as ye think not. He's coming. Would you stand with heads bowed? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we've been looking at the truth of the Word of God. You've told us we need to watch because you're coming. You're coming. Lord, you've warned us that we're going to give an account for every idle word. You've told us we're to walk circumspectly. Lord, you've told us we're going to give an account for all the deeds we've done, what we do in this body. Lord, we're going to stand before you one day and give an account of where we've been. Lord, would you help us to get real and get serious today about our life? Lord, if there's folks here who need to make some changes, would you give them the courage to do it? Lord, there's some folks who need to walk this aisle this morning and bow here at the altar in one of these front pews and do business with you. Would you give them the courage today to do it? And Lord, if there's just one here this morning that needs to trust you as Savior, would you help them to come today? I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning, then.